We're really happy for your presence today. We appreciate so much each of you being here. We have some visitors with us today. We're very thankful for you. We have those in the parking lot. We have those live streaming. We appreciate all of you today as we worship together. It is a beautiful day. We're glad to be able to be here as God's people, to be able to worship together. And we're hoping and praying that hopefully shortly we'll all be able to be together. One group this morning, the 8:30 service, was encouraged that hopefully in the near future, very near future, that we'll be able to all come together again and the 8:30 service will be no more. So we're hoping for that. It's just a matter of when. And but we're glad to see all of you that are here today. We've been studying on Sunday evenings about quick and simple answers as we try to talk to those round about us about the Lord. And I know that as you have talked to individuals about the Lord, that you will hear people talk about something along the lines that they really don't think that the church is that big a deal, or that the church is not that important, or one church is as good as another, or really church is not important at all. That what's really important is just knowing Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your Savior. So today's lesson, really what I've decided to do is to talk a little bit about that. And from a little bit meatier standpoint, I want to delve into a few things that I would really like to beg your endearment to open your Bibles. We're going to read quite a bit from the Scriptures today. As we talk about the idea of the importance of the local church, or the church that Jesus built. And when we think about the church that Jesus built, there's a lot revealed about it. And the more you learn about it, the more important you see that it is. So let me begin by simply illustrating it this way. One of the things we learn from Scripture that is a very basic fundamental principle is that the church was planned before creation. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to notice a few verses there that might help us along this line. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. To me, the very least of all the saints, Paul says, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration or fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. The thing that I really kind of wanted to highlight there for you is the idea of, if you'll notice there in the text, verse 11, with His eternal purpose. In the first 7 verses of this chapter, which I'm not going to take the time to read, the text talks about the importance of Jesus Christ, and that before the foundations of the earth, God determined that through Christ we would be saved. The verses I just read is that the knowledge, the mystery of that salvation would be revealed through the church. So that you understand what we're talking about here, in these first 12 verses of Ephesians 3, before God ever created the heavens and the earth, He'd already predetermined and pre-planned that He was going to create man, and that man would fall, and that they would need to be saved. So before God ever created man, He created a plan of Christ coming as the Messiah, and the Messiah would be made known through the church. Now, when you think about that, that might not seem like that really important big a deal. But for the next few moments, I want to establish how important that is. So keep in mind Ephesians 3. When we go to the next step, we need to understand the significance of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now, most Christians aren't all of that informed about the Old Testament prophecies. And even fewer have really delved deep into them. But it's quite profound what God has revealed. And if I may use this terminology, all the trouble that God went to bring about the opportunity for us this day to be a part of the church, the kingdom, the vineyard, the body, the house of God. So I think what I'll do, if you'll just take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 2, I want to read a few verses, and I hope this will challenge you to do some more study about it, some more thought about it. And I will say, here is my goal. I think you, as members of the body of Christ, understand how important the church is. But you talk to people every day that doesn't think the church is that big a deal. What I would like to encourage you to be able to do is, with patience, with kindness, and with love, rather than hear that and not say anything, gently correct that notion. Because it's an unlearned position. It's a position where someone really hasn't looked at what the Bible really says about the church. And let's begin with Isaiah 2, and we'll demonstrate that. In Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, and Isaiah is the dean of all the prophets. He is the most messianic of all the prophets. And when we say messianic, he is one that speaks concerning the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. And in chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, it says, "In the last days." This is a phrase that most usually, if you're reading the prophets, and it says "in the last days," chances are it's talking about the messianic time. So Isaiah is about 700 years before Christ. So he's talking about something that's going to happen 700 years from his time. But then he says, "The mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" If you will allow me just for a moment to identify some key words, we're going to look at a couple more passages, and I hope that this will help you to see the connection of how important the church is. First of all, did you notice there in verse 2, the mountain of the house of the Lord? This word "mountain" is going to be a key word for us to understand when we look at these other passages, including the New Testament. You remember that Jerusalem was in a mountainous area. There was a mountain there in Jerusalem called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, you go back historically, that's where Abraham offers Isaac. Christ was offered in the area of Mount Moriah. That area is referred to as Zion. It is referred to physically as Mount Zion. That's where Jerusalem is. You'll notice here that the mountain of the house of the Lord. You recall that David, after securing the land, his son Solomon built a house for the Lord. That was the temple. We find in this text that all peoples, or many peoples, will come and say, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." You'll notice here that in the text it talks about Jerusalem. So what this passage does, it reveals to us something about the mountain of God, the house of the Lord, Zion, Jerusalem, in the Messianic time. So hold on to that idea, and let's look at another Messianic prophet. He is Micah. And in Micah chapter 4, Micah is commonly referred to as a little Isaiah. You'll recall that there are major prophets like Isaiah, and there are minor prophets like Micah. It doesn't have anything to do with their importance. It has to do with the length of the book that they wrote. Micah is a minor prophet, fewer words, but powerful words. In Micah chapter 4, verse 1, "And it will come about in the last days." There's again our phrase talking about the messianic time. "That the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and render decision for mighty distant nations. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. And each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree." That last phrase in verse 4 is a phrase that was a very typical type statement that was made even during the time of Solomon. As I mentioned, David conquered the land for the land promise being fulfilled. Solomon ruled after David in peace. And the text says that during Solomon's day, every man sat under his own fig tree. Now that's not literal. It's an expression of peace and tranquility. So what Micah talks about, there's going to be a day in the messianic time when every man is going to sit under his own vine and his own fig tree. It'd be a time of peace. You'll notice the language is almost identical to what Isaiah said about the mountain and the house and Zion and Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 2 is a passage I'm sure most of you have heard, at least have heard it referenced. And it talks about a mountain. In Daniel 2 and verse 44, remember Daniel is interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And in verse 44, "And in the days of those kings," when you look back to verse 40, the interpretation of the dreams is that there are four kingdoms identified. The fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire. So it is Daniel who identifies for us when the mountain, the house of the Lord, is going to be established. It's going to be in the days of the Roman Empire. So Daniel reveals and says to Nebuchadnezzar, and in those days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. The significance of this passage for us is that Daniel, some 500 years before Christ, some 200 years after Isaiah, he speaks of this kingdom. And he again references a mountain. This mountain, verse 45, is made without hands. Well, we understand that God made all the physical mountains. But this expression, made without hands, has to do with the spirituality. And it's important that we see in this text that what Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to be a mountain, there's going to be a kingdom, there's going to be a house that's going to be established, it's going to be Zion, that's going to be in Jerusalem, and it's going to be a spiritual kingdom, and it's going to crush and put an end to all physical kingdoms. Now that doesn't mean that no more physical kingdoms are going to occur or be in existence. But God, early on in time, used physical kingdoms to bring about His purpose. In the Messianic time, God is going to choose to use a spiritual kingdom to bring about His purpose. And Daniel speaks of that. Well, that's why in Acts chapter 2, you find the apostles quoting an Old Testament prophet, Joel, and Joel talks about the Messianic time. And what happens in Acts chapter 2 is the pivotal point of the history of mankind. Now someone says, well, I thought that the death and burial resurrection of Christ was the... It is. But this Acts chapter 2 is the revealing of the importance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 2 is when the apostles revealed for all mankind, for all time, may I now say the title of my lesson? The importance of the church. Hebrews chapter 12 is the last passage I will suggest to you that really brings together Isaiah, Micah, Joel, even Acts 2 to show us exactly what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 3. Did you get all that? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, and I do want to read a few verses here, and it's important that we notice these passages. In chapter 12 and verse 18, the writer says, "For you have not come to a mountain that may not be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and a whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word should be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling." Now what the writer of Hebrews does, he connects the idea of Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses with the mountain that Isaiah and these other writers talked about. And this is how he connects it. He says in verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn ones who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." So if I'd stop there just for a moment and interject this idea, the children of Israel, as they were at Mount Sinai, and God was given the law, and all the things that were going on, the people were just scared out of their mind. They couldn't touch the mountain, that there was death. But now we have come to a mountain that you can touch, that you can be a part of. It's a spiritual mountain. He goes on to say in this text, "For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven." If folks back during Israel's time at Mount Sinai didn't escape, if they didn't listen, in other words, if you didn't listen to the word of God, you were destroyed. Now we've come into something greater than that. How are you going to escape if you don't listen? Verse 26, "And his voice shook the earth then at Sinai. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens." And this expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken, the law of Moses, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what did Daniel say? There will be a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I know that's a lot of reading, but may I try to draw it together for you, as did the Hebrew writer. The prophets talked about the coming of the mountain of God, the house of the Lord, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, a kingdom that would never be destroyed, that would put an end to all physical kingdoms. Did you know that the church, the kingdom, the vineyard, the people of God that you're a part of today is that mountain? That's who we are. Greater than at Mount Sinai. The mountain that was formed without hands. You remember Jesus when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church"? Simple little statement in Matthew 16, verse 18. What was he talking about? He was talking about, in a very simple way, all that the prophets for centuries have been prophesying of. And Acts chapter 2 is when it all started. 2,000 years later, you and I are blessed to be a part of that kingdom, of that mountain, of that house of the Lord. Is the church important? It is really important. May I say, it's only what God has been working on since before the world was created. Just to summarize real quickly for you, something visually to see. If you compare Isaiah and Acts 2, they're really, really helpful to see that both are talking about the last days. That's what Peter said in verse 17 of Acts 2. And the place is Zion or Jerusalem. Where were the apostles on the day of Pentecost? Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And the subject was the house of the Lord, the church. You remember in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily that those who were being saved? That day is when it started. You notice that the word of the Lord is being spoken. What did Paul say the purpose of the church was? To reveal the manifold wisdom of God. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that we may learn the words of God. But what was God's plan? God's plan was, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, if you want to be a part of the house of God, you must come to Him and learn through the process of the church, the people, preaching the gospel, so as to be able to enter that great kingdom. That's what Peter said. That's what Isaiah said. All nations would be able to come to it. In fact, Ephesians 3, Paul makes this point. He says, the great mystery that the Jews missed was the fact that God intended the Gentiles to be a part of the salvation in this new kingdom. See, the Jews thought the kingdom was going to be for them. It was going to be earthly. Was they right about that? No. They missed the whole point. The kingdom that the Messiah came and died for and set up, and that He is now at the right hand of God, ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is not a physical kingdom. It is for all peoples, Jew and Gentile. Well, I hope you'll think a little bit more about that. That's kind of deep. It's a lot of stuff. But it happens to be the truth. Did you know that God chose some special men to make all this happen? In these three passages, Matthew 3, there was a fellow by the name of John. You remember what Jesus said about that guy? There's no man born of woman any greater than John. And what did John do? John came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What kingdom? What mountain? What house? What Isaiah said was coming. John says, it's here. It's close. Then Jesus chose the 12. Peter, James, and John, etc. These guys were specially chosen men to take the message of the kingdom of God to the whole world. Jesus even chose 70 others. So 70 and 12 is 82, and John's 83. At least 83 specially chosen holy men of God got the church started. And do you know 2,000 years later, sitting here in little old Anderson, Alabama, we are in that great mountain, Mount Zion, the house of the Lord. Jesus gave His life for it. That's what He died for. Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection made all of this possible. Without Christ dying to redeem, to purchase, we would have nothing, we would be nothing. But by the fact that Jesus did die, by the fact that He did raise from the dead, He made it all possible. And when you read passages like Acts 20, verse 28, Paul said, therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. We are quite positive that when we think about the blood of Jesus, we should be thankful and grateful for the blood that He shed to purchase us, to redeem us, from our sins. The significance of that is that when we, as God's people, have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, we are the body of the saved. The body of the saved is nothing more than the church. The church is nothing more than the kingdom, that mountain, that house of the Lord, that vineyard, etc., that God promised through the prophets, that He predetermined before the earth was ever created. Is the church important? Yes. It's only the saved of God. So to say that the church is not important is to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Can you imagine the apostles on the day of Pentecost saying, now look, if you want to be saved from your sins, well, we can tell you about Jesus, and if you obey Jesus, well, God's going to add you to His church, but it's not really a big deal. The church is not a big deal. But God's going to do that. But just as long as you believe in Jesus, you'll be okay. Read that chapter again. Is that what He said? When you hear your friends say, the church is not important, the church is no big deal, only believing in Jesus, kindly, lovingly correct that, because it is the devil's lie. The church is extremely important. It is the saved of God. Now, we extend the Lord's invitation. Why? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. So if today you decide to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and you come up here into the water and we baptize you into Christ, do you know what God is going to do? God is going to put you in the church. And if you don't think that's important, then you shouldn't be getting in the water. Because that's what God's going to do with you. And why does He do that? Because that's where His saved are. That's a fact. So today, those of us who have believed God and obeyed God, God has given us the great privilege of being a part. Now think about it. Being a part of a kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about. And Daniel told him that your dream means that in the future there's going to be a kingdom set up that will never be destroyed. And we're a part of that. We're in that kingdom. And Jesus Christ is our King. So, you think the church is important? And may I say very humbly, we've only touched the hem of the garment as to what this great book reveals about this kingdom. So keep studying your Bible. Keep studying what God has revealed to us. And it'll help us not only to be better people, but to be better teachers and helpers of those who are unlearned about what great things our God has done for us. Today, if you're here and not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. Can we help you? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus, the coffee shop.